When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. Appreciate you listening to us in Richmond. We're also streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next 5-star HVAC technician or plumber. Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Eric Bickle. That is the foursome. We'll have our colleague check-in. We'll hear from our pal Chris Russell, the Rooster, coming up in 20 minutes. He's host of the Chris Russell Show on the Team 980, and we'll get back into the Commanders-Steelers game and start looking ahead more towards the Eagles game, which it's not on Sunday. It's on Thursday.
It's coming up.
So it is a quick turnaround for the Washington Commanders.
Also short for Philly, too.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean.
And they played a couple hours shorter.
They played the later game, and they had to fly from Dallas. So it's a little bit later getting back to their beds, but it's a big one. It's a huge game.
But I wanted to mention a couple things from the weekend. So on Friday, I had an appearance at the Verizon store in Rockville.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not far from me. I go to the location, and there are no parking spaces. And it immediately dawns on me, well, everybody's there to go see B. Mitch, right, which was 100% the deal. Like, they had the towels,
yep,
the red towels.
Burgundy.
There. Burgundy towels, sorry.
They're burgundy.
They are burgundy towels. And you just, we talked about it beforehand. You're reminded of where you are in the pecking order.
Oh,
when
yeah,
somebody like B. Mitch is there, like they had a location just for him to take pictures,
yep,
and sign autographs. Now, there were Junkies listeners that were nice enough to like say hello, but they were all there to see B. Mitch. Major Tutty came by.
I did see Major Tutty made an appearance.
He was doing his bit.
Yeah.
The mascots always make me laugh because they are committed to bit. Even if you like, in person.
Sure.
Like when nobody else is around, go, hey, thanks for coming out. Yeah. They won't say anything.
Can't break character.
They will not say anything.
That's the number one rule for mascots. You can't break character and start talking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just can't do it.
I would think they might say, what's up?
No, you can't. Like,
appreciate you coming. Thanks.
I mean, don't you know anything about mascots?
Nothing. Yeah. And then I wanted to give a shout out to one of our listeners who gave me not one, but 2 leather bags. His name is P. Well, his name's not P, but he's a short Indian guy.
His name is P? Like,
he goes by P.
Like, okay. Potty?
I forget. At one point I heard he has a very Indian first name.
Okay.
He says, everybody just calls me P.
Okay, easy, yeah.
Everybody calls me P. And he wants to hook everybody here with these leather bags. They're amazing. Put your laptop in it, whatever. These backpacks, he hooks up B. Mitch. So he was nice. So a lot of people came out to that. But before that, we had a little discussion if black tie means tux.
Mm-hmm.
I had my wife's gala on Saturday night. I was kind of resolute that I was not going to spend money and get a tux. Chris Farley backed me up, and he's like, nah, just wear a dark suit.
Right.
Then when I left here, I was like, maybe I should text the organizer of the event. And she sent me a very terse message because I wrote like two or three sentences. Mm-hmm. Like, my buddy says black suit's fine. Yeah. And she knows Chris because he won the dancing event a couple years ago in the corporate challenge. And she just wrote, black tie means tux.
Ooh. So annoying. That
was, it was almost an all caps you know message. Yeah. It wasn't.
She's annoying.
But I just felt like this. And my wife kind of wanted me to. So I drove over to Men's Warehouse.
Sure. I know exactly where it is.
They don't do next day tuxes.
Oh.
They don't do it. Then I called and I had to just suck it up. I went to Macy's and I bought a tux.
Well, they actually sell them at a Macy's? That's good because you probably got a good deal. Macy's is good.
Yeah, I got a good deal. I bought, you know, and they'll hook you up where you get star rewards. Do you have a card? Do you have star rewards and all this stuff? But I mean, I still spent. Now, I didn't get the cheapest.
Yeah.
I certainly didn't get the most expensive. Mm-hmm. So I got the jacket, I got the pants, I got a shirt, I got a bow tie.
What about shoes?
I did not get the shoes.
I posted a picture. Well, like
the here's the thing with tuxes. When you wear, when you rent or buy a tux, you get those shiny ass black shoes and they pop and they look good.
Right.
But you wore like beaters.
Right. And this is
people
rare.
Wear like Jordans with tuxes or no? Is that a thing?
My buddy Eric did.
Yeah.
My buddy Eric did. He had a tux and he wore Jordans. And the interesting thing is, you know that we post a picture on the show.
Mm-hmm.
We get blasted by 90% of the audience. In this case, I posted a picture with my wife. Now she's carrying the picture. Mm-hmm. But almost all compliments, except for about four or five people that did catch the shoes.
Right.
I used old nubbers. I polished them. I had black polish. I poured on the polish so they were as black as possible, but they were not tuxedo shoes. But it was a great event. I got to thank Chris Farley. Came out to support my friends Ryan and Eric. Mm-hmm. Came out to support. Jess did an amazing job.
How'd she look?
She won the judges award.
Mm-hmm.
So the person that won the dance contest raised almost $50,000. Mm-hmm. That's 40% of the score. Jess, I think, did a good job, raised $14,000. Mm-hmm. But when 40% of your score is the fundraising, you're going to win. That's how Chris Farley won.
Yeah.
He was a good fundraiser, not necessarily a good dancer.
Again, I said on Friday, it's a horrible way to do your scoring, but maybe I'm the outlier here.
Well, they want to encourage the fundraising.
I understand the concept of a fundraiser.
And the truth is, there was one woman who competed who choreographed for like Missy Elliott and all of these like rappers and R&B dancers. She was amazing. Mm. Like she came out and crushed it. It was like, oh, whoa, that's a real dancer.
Right.
So there were some good dancers, but I had a good time Friday night.
They didn't have any dudes dancing, right?
No, they did.
Oh, they did.
There was a guy from 99.5 or DC 101.
Oh, okay.
He danced. I think his name is Nick
Gomez.
Don't
ask me, please. I'll say no.
Yeah. But no, I'm out. Yeah. Well, let me tell you what the tough job is. Because Farley was trying to rope me in to emcee it next year.
Oh.
That is a hard no.
Never.
It was.
I'm surprised you said no.
I know.
Have you ever said no before?
Because it was Darren Haynes and Julie Donaldson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everybody's there in their black tie, and it's like a big wedding. So there's like 500 people in there. It's at the Four Seasons Hotel.
Nice.
And people are talking, they're eating, and they're doing like shtick on stage.
And no one's paying attention.
You know what I mean? And they got to hype up the crowd. And then they have to do the auction.
Oh.
And they're like, hey, there's 2,000 over here.
An auction?
You couldn't pay me to do that.
You could. But it would have to be a healthy song.
Oh, it would have to be so much money. It would have to be so much where I couldn't say no.
It goes against the spirit of charity, raising a bunch of money.
I just couldn't do that.
Chris told me he went up to Darren Haynes. So at one point, they asked the people that had performed in previous galas to come on stage, the alumni from DC's Dancing Stars. And Chris went on stage, and he said when Haynes wasn't on the mic, he just whispered, he was like, "You're doing a great job." And Haynes said, "This is brutal."
Is that what he said?
But Haynes sells it. Like,
he's a professional.
He's like, you know, all out good dude. That will be a hard no if I'm asked.
Big time hard
Any hosting of anything is a hard no for me.
Generally with you at this point. I've done it before and it ain't fun.
Well, did they
no.
I thought you said they already asked you.
No, not really.
They're just asking. Yeah,
they're just kind of hinting.
He could tell.
Yeah, like Farley. Like my wife danced for the Jennifer Bush Foundation, and Chris is friends with the person that runs that foundation. So that all the charitable money went to the foundation, and Chris asked me to ask my wife to dance, And next year he's going to ask somebody because they're looking for new people or they're trying to figure out ways to fundraise. And it's going to be a hard no.
I can tell him I love Chris Farley. Don't ask me for 2025 or beyond. I love you. You're my guy. But that's a bridge too far.
It's a bridge. You could send me all the hokas in the world. It ain't going to happen.
Yeah. But I'll say this. Farley did not wear a tux, but he had a black suit and he had a black tie and he looked good. And I'm relieved that I actually got the tux because out of, let's say, 500 people, 250 men, maybe there were three people that didn't have a tux. Like, I would have stuck out like a sore thumb.
How much you plunked
down?
What
were they wearing?
Let me guess the total for Macy's. He hasn't said it, has
600.
He?
600. I'm going to say 600.
Oh, I don't think he went 600.
350.
I'm going to say with the discounts, like between 350 and I'm going to go 375.
I think it was actually probably between 350 and 375. I didn't tally it up because
the same as renting.
To save money, she did it on three separate tickets.
Yeah.
She was like, she was actually a good saleswoman. She was like, here's what you're going to do. You're going to get the jacket on one ticket, you're going to get the pants on another ticket, and you get the shirt and a bow tie on another. I was like, whatever you got to do.
I did see somebody joining that you. I guess you had a clip-on bow tie, but look, you're supposed to know how to tie a bow tie. I mean, please, I would be team clip-on bow tie.
Yeah, I was actually
Well, couldn't you do a bow tie that was strapped around, but it was already pre-made?
Yeah, that's what I mean, like a clip-on.
That's bad. I'm sorry. You can't be a grown man, 53 years old, wearing a clip-on.
Really?
That's why? Who knows how to do a bow tie?
Well, nobody. That's what, first off, YouTube's for. And if you don't, then you figure out someone to tie it for you.
No.
That's for fifth grade photo at elementary school.
I would say clip-on regular ties is for kids. But a clip-on bow tie, I think it's acceptable.
It's all the way around.
Well, I'll say this. The sales lady, I think her name was Christina.
Get
I could
Ralph
be wrong.
Lauren over there.
Yeah, right.
The basics.
I'll be honest. I didn't know what I was getting. Yeah, like I said, I need it. She goes, do you need a bow tie? I said, yes, I need a bow tie. She just rang it up. It could have been tie the bow tie and then I would have been screwed.
Yeah.
Because my wife had to, I drove to the
Four
Seasons.
You wouldn't have gotten it on.
I dropped her off at 1 o'clock. The show started at 6 or the cocktail hour started at 6. I think the show was 8 till 10. So it was a late night.
Yeah, what would you have done? How would you have gotten the tie on?
I would have had to do what Trav's talking about. I had to YouTube it.
Oh,
I'd have been in my room for like 20 minutes.
You'd have been fumbling for an hour.
I would have been fumbling.
20 minutes, hour.
So I was relieved that there was a clip. But dude, my night wasn't. I was out till like 2 a.m. because we went to the bar after.
Yeah, Drabby went deep.
But Drabby did the same thing on Friday night or Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean, it's been probably 15 years since I've stayed up till almost 3 a.m.
No.
I think it was 2:45 by the time I finally went to sleep.
Right.
I went to a 90s. 40th birthday party. A 40th birthday party, 90s was the theme.
Okay. Mm.
Everyone was wearing costumes.
So much grunge music being played.
Oh, well, not just grunge. It was a lot of Britney Spears, Thong Song.
Yeah.
Tupac.
Yeah.
But we took, it was my wife's friend Lauren. She turned 40 years old. We took a bus to Reston Town Center to Open Road.
Okay. Hanging out at Open
place
Road.
Place is awesome, by the way.
It is.
Could use one of those gift cards that we were giving out left and right.
It's huge.
I would take one.
It's a huge spot.
So that was the pregame spot.
You know
that was the pregame. Here's the thing. It was a great idea, this idea. The poor planning part was we went to a bar for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's doing their Orange Crush cocktails, all kinds of stuff. And then we went to the roller rink, okay?
Yeah.
It was a private event, so we couldn't get there till 10:30 at night.
Mm-hmm.
It was from 10:30 to like 12:45.
You didn't mention who you were dressed up as. I know, but who were you dressed up as?
I was dressed up as Billy Hoyle from White Men Can't Jump.
Yeah. I like it.
Good one. My wife was Rosie Perez.
All right, good.
The couple's theme costume.
Very nice.
Big hit. Everyone loved it.
All right.
So you had the hat on backwards?
Yeah. The shorts, everything.
Mm-hmm. Did you post pictures of you?
On my IG story. It still might be up there. I don't know.
What were you drinking?
I was doing those Orange Crushes.
Oh, you were?
And then
delicious.
High noons in the bus.
You were feeling what?
You mean Surfsides.
Surfsides.
Yeah.
Sorry. dude, people were hammered at 40 years old getting on roller skates that they haven't been on in 30 years.
Disaster.
What do you think happened?
They're falling left and right.
Girl shattered her wrist. Lights go on. The guy runs the waiver out to the floor, making her sign it with her left hand because her right hand's broken.
Signed the waiver after the accident?
Yeah, he botched it somehow.
After the accident.
I'd be like, I'm not signing.
That's a cover your ass move.
My wife fell 15 times.
She was hammered. Was she hammered?
She got hurt?
No, she just was. She's just a klutz, I guess, on skates. But we get home. She's complaining about her hip. She takes off her shorts. It's a basketball size
bruise.
Just so much blood and liquid in there. We almost had to go to the ER.
Now, these would have loved watching that on Dr. Pimple Popper.
That totally ruins your night because also. That's almost a guaranteed crush at night when you go out to your costume party.
No. He was so tired.
He would have been like Roller Girl in Boogie Nights.
The only thing that was getting crushed were the aspirin.
I know, but I'm saying it would have been.
Could have been, yeah.
Yeah.
What time did
probably
you get
up? Probably not if you're getting home at 2 in the morning.
What time did you get up
probably
the next morning?
Did you drop off your kids at her parents or something?
My mother-in-law came out.
Yeah, so it would have been a night without the kids.
Yeah.
Drinking, having fun.
Did you end up upstairs in the guest room like you normally do?
She's got a hematoma. This is Rhode Island on her hip.
No, I was scratching her back. She was sobbing.
She was wearing the Ravens purple color rush.
Yeah. That sucks.
No, it was a good time. The roller rink, I mean, those falls, you can't take them like you did when you were 12.
Yeah, those are some serious bumps you're taking.
I felt twice bruises. I have bruises all over my body. Right. Everyone's just... They skated for 10 minutes and
these
then crawled
bruises.
To the side.
Bruises! Yeah. Silly by train.
What were you, were you like skating really hard or just a simple?
I know you're the rollerblading guy, so for you it's.
What?
You're a big rollerblader?
Yeah, but I'm not great at stopping and stuff.
I'm assuming these are the old school roller skates, not inline, like the four wheels.
I had four wheels.
Okay.
Because I just never got on rollerblades, but most of the people were on blades.
Oh, they were on rollerblades. Mm. Okay.
Most of the guys.
How do you fall? Like, I'm just curious. I'm not saying I wouldn't fall. I'm just asking.
What do you mean? You just start leaning backwards and then you fall on your tailbone.
You just ask how does someone fall?
Well, I mean, you lose your balance.
You fall forwards,
you
fall
backwards. Because my wife pulled me down twice.
Yeah.
Like she was struggling to get up and yanked my sweatshirt. And then I.
Listen.
Collateral damage.
Yeah. I've fallen before on ice and I rollerbladed for a couple years all the time.
Yeah.
I never fell, but I was scared to fall, but I never fell. The closest I came was I'd get a leaf in my wheel and I'd be going one leg. Try to save myself.
No, these people were hammered and haven't been on skates for 30 years.
Yeah.
It was just a wipeout central. And I wasn't going to use the walker.
What's the walker?
You know, like children use.
They do that for some people?
I would never do that.
I've heard Drab before.
That's humiliating.
Drab, when asked about using a helmet when riding a bike, I believe his quote was, I'd rather have my brain splattered all over the sidewalk than wear a brain bucket.
Yeah, I'm not a big safety guy.
Really?
Tough a walker? You can't be a guy and using a walker at the roller rink.
What do they put, tennis balls underneath
it?
Yeah, you can't do that.
Oh, jeez.
You're going to have one of those soon enough when you're 80.
One last thing I wanted to say about the dancing thing. I did get to meet my wife's partner, Alex.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
A lot of joning on the show about Alex.
JP. How does
did
it feel,
he hear about that?
How did it feel to be cucked by
I think
Alex.
He might have been. I think he might have. Very nice guy. Yeah. Super serious about dance.
Right. He
has a girlfriend. She's a dancer too. Yeah. He had a showcase dance the next day.
Right.
Like the guy's all dance. All business.
24/7.
I bet he's all banging too. I bet he's into banging.
I don't know. But
Hey, real quick. Speaking of fundraisers, I'm going to be out at the Pink Ribbon Hoppy Hour breast cancer fundraiser on Thursday night.
Hoppy Hour?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's at Old Ox Brewery.
All right.
So it's at...
Hence Hoppy instead of Happy.
Yeah.
I get it.
November 14th, this Thursday, come on out. They're going to have silent live auctions, raffles, live music, catered.
I mean, great beers. You're handling a silent auction instead of a live auction.
Yeah, I'm definitely not doing a live auction. But it's at Old Ox Brewery in Ashburn. Come on out, hang out, and spend some cash. But it's for a great cause. Of course, my mother passed away from breast cancer 5 years ago. So I try and do this every year. So come on out.
Coming up next, Chris Russell, the Rooster, joins us for our colleague check-in as we talk Commanders Steelers next here on The Junkies.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond, streaming live on the free Odyssey app. Earlier, we put up a Junkies poll of the day brought to you by Scotty's Vodka, Maryland made, super smooth, love throughout the DMV. Has your opinion of the Commanders changed after the Steelers game? Three choices. Either more optimistic, unchanged, or feel worse about the team. So you can vote at Junks Radio. What do you think's winning?
Unchanged.
Unchanged.
Yeah. Unchanged, 68%.
Yeah. That would be my guess.
18% more optimistic, 14% feel worse.
They'll come around.
All right, join us right now for our colleague check-ins. Our pal Chris Russell, host of the Chris Russell Show on Team 980. We'll listen to him from 1 to 4. And Rooster, I saw you had a nice picture there with Danny Smith. You got to reconnect with your boy.
Yeah. It was great to see Danny. I haven't seen him in 8 years. I mean, we keep in touch, obviously, throughout the years, but because they haven't been here, and the last time they played the Steelers, it was that weird Monday afternoon COVID.
Oh, yeah.
You know, crazy thing. So I didn't get to see him then, and got to see Darrell Young, if you guys remember him as well.
I do remember him.
Yep. Old DY, he's like the director of player development for the Steelers. So it was great to catch up with those guys. But, you know, Jason and you guys know, excuse me, just took a swig of coffee before you guys got to me.
Went down the wrong pipe, Rooster.
Yeah. You guys know
as bad as this awful organization was for 25 plus years, there have been some good ass people that have rolled through here and of course have left and gone on to greener pastures. So I always try and say hello and keep in touch and, you know, all that good stuff.
Interesting day for him, man, with the fake punt.
He was getting a lot of airtime there in the first quarter. I'll tell you that.
Well, I mean, it worked, obviously. The guy was wide open, and I don't know if you guys saw this, but I immediately was like, as soon as he dropped it, I didn't think about it before the game. James Pierre was here until late August. The kid that dropped the pass that was wide open and it would have worked was here for 6+ months, and he got cut at the end of August and then went back to the Steelers.
Maybe he got cut because he's got bad hands. Maybe that's part of it.
He's been in the league for 5 or 6 years.
I looked him up afterwards. Perhaps old Danny shouldn't be asking a cornerback to a fake pass.
They're probably taking that play out of the playbook.
I would think so.
Shouldn't. I mean,
he was wide open.
He was covered a million times out of a million.
Did they just call that at the line, or because no one was guarding him?
I have to imagine that was just something they saw on film. Now you know how these coaches work. I mean, of course, Danny didn't tell me that they were going to run that, so I don't know the answer, and I didn't talk to him. I mean, I talked to him via text after the game, but I didn't, like, ask him specifically about that. But, you know, these guys cook up at least one special teams trick play per game almost every week, if not every week. I'm trying to think, like, Ben Kotwicka, now with the Broncos, who was here for a bunch of years under Jay, like, he would tell me that, and I just saw him last week, too. You know, like, they cook this stuff up, and it's just a matter of whether they feel... Now, the crazy part was how deep in their own territory they were. I would never run that. I mean, you've got to have, like, onions the size of grapefruits and then some to run that as deep as they were in their territory on 4th and 15. Mm-hmm. I mean, that wasn't 4th and 1, guys. That was 4th and 15.
It
backfired.
I know. That is ballsy.
Yeah.
But when your guy is out there all alone on an island, you got to throw it to him.
I know. But you got to run it, Jason.
Yeah.
You got to make that decision to run it in that spot on 4th and 15. That was the crazy part.
Right.
Danny's probably ingested so much bubble gum it's gotten to his and it almost worked, you know?
All right, so what was your overall take from the game? A lot of missed opportunities. Yeah. I know as a fan, I'm not too despondent about it. It sucks to lose, but, you know, we're right in there, played kind of a mediocre-ish game, and still we're right there.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned at how many mistakes, of course, that they made yesterday. And I've been feeling that, like, okay, they've been making more and more mistakes without necessarily turning the ball over, where it was going to come back to haunt them against a better team, you know, and no disrespect to the Giants and the Bears and the Carolina Panthers. Those aren't good teams, right? So it finally caught up to them, and it didn't necessarily catch up to them in terms of, like, Jaden throwing a bunch of picks, but Jaden wasn't sharp yesterday. But the one big turnover, Olamide Zaccheaus, I mean, I've been saying this for weeks, guys. Like, he's had a major problem here. Like, not only the two fumbles yesterday, which everybody now knows, but he had a fumble on a return against Chicago 2 weeks ago, and he butchered a punt that led to a wild scramble and was downed ultimately at the 1 yard line against Carolina. He's had 4 botched punts in the last 3 games. You know, to me, against good teams, that's going to catch up. And that, of course, led to a quick Pittsburgh touchdown. So while everybody's blaming the defense, and I understand the defense did not play well enough, I totally understand, we can pick that apart. They contributed penalties, St. Just, all of that. I got it. While everybody's killing the defense, you know, it was really offense. And then, of course, the special teams, especially the lost punt on Zaccheaus, where it completely changed around the game, momentum, all of that stuff, and yet still they could have, maybe should have won.
Rooster, who would be the next man up if they decided to go away from Oz for Thursday night? I know that's a radical change that with this little time between games, but who would it be?
You know, I think I'm trying to remember who did it during training camp in the preseason.
I thought McCaffrey was returning
punts. McCaffrey is one of them. Yeah.
But
I'm trying to think.
I think one of the
D-backs, but I would have to double check that to remember who did it during training camp.
What's Crowder's injury?
He's on IR still. I think he's got a hamstring or whatever he's got. I don't know. Right. I lose track of these guys once they're on IR.
Right.
But yeah, I don't think they're going to go there because they could have gone there yesterday and they chose not to. Now, the one thing that changed was he didn't catch any, right? Like, they all just kind of, whether it was by design or by order, whatever, it just, he didn't catch any more after that. Noah Igbinoghene might be the name that I'm thinking about. I want to double down on that, but Noah Igbinoghene might be the guy that I'm thinking about that did it during the preseason and also in training camp.
Hmm.
And Crowder, obviously, but he's on.
He's hurt.
Yeah.
What did you make of Jaden's performance overall?
I didn't think he was super sharp by any stretch from the very start. I mean, he missed Olamide Zaccheaus on third down on the first series. Mm-hmm. You know, missed Zach Ertz once, was low and behind on him. Missed McCaffrey on a big one that they could have hit, should have hit. You know, again, some of that is because of some pressure, some moderate pressure. But I didn't think I didn't think he was under siege all game.
No.
It's the offense in general. I broke it down like series by series, guys. And first of all, they came in with 12 three and outs, which was the third best in the NFL. They had 5 three and outs yesterday, and they had a bunch of series. And, you know, again, I tallied it all up, you know, on Twitter or X or whatever the hell we're calling it these days. -2, -2, back to back plays of -11 on one drive, one of which was a sack, one of which was like a pass to De'Ami Brown, who ran like from Landover to, you know, Bethesda and just got tackled way behind the line of scrimmage. They had too many negative plays. They couldn't run. They didn't run. Although it's weird, right? They had 3 rushing touchdowns, but they were all of the short yardage variety. They only ran for 60 yards total. They only tried 21 times, and not all of those are calls. So it was just a weird thing. No B-Rob, obviously. I don't know. Everything felt disjointed to me from the get-go, and there was one, you know, there was the penalty aided long drive before halftime. That was a good drive, but again, heavily penalty, if I could speak, penalty aided by Joey Porter Jr. And then there was the one good drive out of the shoot in the half, where Pittsburgh had not given up any points, guys, in the third quarter at all in any game this year. And they came out and they carved them up. A couple of slants to Terry, 54 and 17, and then finished it off. You know, to me, like, that was impressive. That's what you're looking for. That's what this offense has become known for. But a lot of people were arguing with me when I said, oh, this game was really more about offensive efficiency. Well, they scored 27 points. Yeah, they scored 27 points. They got a gift 7 off the fake punt, and then they got, I don't want to say gift 7, but heavily aided by the penalties again right before the half. So really, when we think about it, it was like a mediocre offensive performance at best by Jaden and everyone.
What was, I understand that Johnny Newton was crying in the locker room, felt bad for the kid. Can you describe that scene?
Yeah, so I didn't see him cry. I mean, maybe I missed it, but I went, Sam Fortier and I went right up to him as soon as he was ready to talk. So, and he was, you know, very humble, very accepting of you know, blame, and he should have been. It was obviously not a smart move. He was way too aggressive. I asked him if they did anything, and he kind of alluded to stuff that they had been doing all game with some of their dummy calls and whatnot. But what was interesting was Jaden, just as he was talking about, like, the brotherhood in the locker room and how guys had supported him and nobody was killing him and crushing him and blaming him, Jaden Daniels, like, makes a beeline towards the shower, and as he's doing that, he comes right up. And I don't think there's any way he could have heard Johnny Newton saying this, but just as Johnny was saying, man, it's a brotherhood, everybody's got my back, Jaden Daniels comes up and gives him a high five. And they have, like, a quick exchange on the way, on Jaden's way to the shower, which I thought, you know, A, that's the right thing to do for a teammate, number one. B, that's the quarterback. You know, and that means a little something. So I did ask Jaden about that, and, you know, he didn't want to get into, you know, all of it, but he clearly believes, as they all do. I mean, it's crazy. Like, all the teams that I've covered, all the years that I've covered, even semi-good teams, I don't ever remember this brotherhood thing, this fraternity thing, this belief in one another thing. I mean, guys, I don't think it's, like, semantics. I don't think it's BS. I think it's real, and I think they freaking love each other, and that's the way they can bounce back here on a quick week with a bunch of injuries.
What worries you about this Eagles game on Thursday?
Everything. JP, did you see Jalen Hurts yesterday? He got blitzed off the edge, and the dude had him wrapped up, and he broke away, and he fired a touchdown to Dallas Goedert.
Yeah.
You know, like, that play symbolizes everything that I think they're going to struggle with on Sunday, because they are an over-aggressive defense, meaning Washington at times. And if you don't wrap up, if you don't line up, and this dude had a perfect angle at Jalen Hurts, and Hurts still broke away from his arm around his waist and fired a touchdown, and then obviously had a couple of rushing touchdowns, which we know he's really good in the red zone. So, and then, oh, by the way, there's Saquon Barkley, and oh, by the way, if Marshon Lattimore doesn't play, which we don't know at this point, right? They're not going to have a full practice. They only have one, like, real still semi-practice tomorrow afternoon. You know, so we don't know if Marshawn Lattimore is going to play. If they have to deal with all of that, and no Marshawn Lattimore and no B-Rob, which is a possibility, and who knows what else. I mean, Wiley's really banged up so much that he couldn't even play, even though he was active. I don't know how you win that game, but I can't say I give them no chance, but clearly they're going to be compromised dealing with Philadelphia as hot as they are.
But the good thing is the 2 weeks after that, they got home games against two bad teams.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Dallas and Tennessee back to back.
If they lose Thursday and they're a game back of Philly in the division because they head to head, they can still get to 9 wins. They'll be 9-4, and I still play
that
Philly.
That would be
again.
Amazing,
assuming that you win those two games.
If they don't win those games, something's wrong.
Well, the way I approached it, I don't know how you guys approached it, was before yesterday. I said, you know, even if you lose these two games in 5 days against, you know, the Keystone State, you're 7-4. Like anybody would have signed up for that, right?
Of course.
Now the key thing is managing the major injuries, right? Yeah. As long as you don't come out of this Philadelphia game with some catastrophic injuries as opposed to guys just kind of banged up and limping through, I think you're going to be okay. If there's catastrophic injuries, we don't have to get like into the details, you know, then you're obviously in more trouble than just 7-4. So we'll figure that out after Thursday. I mean, listen, I wouldn't count them out by any stretch. You know, but they're going to have to run the ball more, better, what have you, to remove some pressure from Jaden. And also, you know, again, I mean, like Trent Scott did a decent job against TJ Watt yesterday, but he had some pressures late. And, you know, you worry about now Jaden under siege a little bit and how that affected maybe his timing, his rhythm, his accuracy, all that. Because I didn't think he was really any of that yesterday, even though he didn't get lit up like a Christmas tree like a lot of us thought.
How about Alex Highsmith? Rolling his ankle.
That looked bad.
Talk about it.
That was right in front of us.
I watched it once. Don't ever want to see it again.
I know.
Gross.
Rooster, we got to run.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Have a great show. 1-4. You can listen to the Chris Russell Show on Team 980. We'll be back with more here on a Misery Monday. Brought to you by Geneva Miles, the 2024 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. Welcome back on a Misery Monday. Brought to you by Geneva Miles, the 2024 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. Commanders fall to the Steelers 28-27. In the game, Jaden Daniels 17 for 34 for 202 yards without a touchdown pass, sacked three times. His QB rating, old school, 68.5. QBR 36.3. Also held to just 5 yards rushing.
That's the real shocking number right there, is the five.
Only three carries. I mean, that's the low on the season.
Credit Pittsburgh's defense for kind of reining them in, and they certainly were focused on that, but they didn't even let him bounce out, you know, escape a pocket and bounce out to the right.
I'm sure that was part of their game plan leading up to this, is don't let Jaden break the pocket and get these huge runs and gains.
If you look at Jaden's runs on the year, I mean, week one, he had 16. All right, that's the high mark. But then it was 10, 12, 8, 11, 6 against the Ravens. So that was a low. Then he had 3 the next week, but he barely played. That was against Carolina.
Right.
Okay, so
he tossed that out. He would have had 15.
So 6 was the lowest. The last couple of weeks, 8, 8, and then this week, just 3 carries.
Yeah. I think they're going to be looking to get him in the 8-10 carry range against Philadelphia.
Yeah,
because they want that unpredictability. They want Philly to have to game plan for, is he going to run? Is he going to hand it off at the RPOs? Like, they want that as part of their offense.
It's interesting, though, against the two good teams is where he's been limited to runs. Baltimore 6 for 22.
Yeah.
And then Pittsburgh 3 for 5.
Well, I mean, they're good at what they do. They're good in that category.
After the game,
I'm just surprised by the number 5. That's just a crazy low number, because that's one of his weapons. Mm-hmm. That's something they kind of rely on, especially on third and shorts. Now, they didn't have a ton of third and shorts yesterday, but they rely on that. So I assume that they're going to try and get him more involved there.
After the game, Mike Tomlin was asked about a comparison between Jaden Daniels and Lamar Jackson.
Man, be real slow comparing people to Lamar Jackson. That's a multi-time MVP. That's Mr. Jackson. We'll see Mr. Jackson in a few days.
That's all right. I mean, it's fair.
I agree with him. Like, why make those comps already? And they have similar playing styles. Yes, but I mean, Jaden's in game 10. I think it's way early.
I think it's disrespectful to compare Caleb to Jaden. So I get it.
Man, that offense is bad. Oof. That was a brutal loss. Side note, loss by the Bears.
I'm just glad he lost to my guy.
To your Drake May, the head-to-head.
Yeah, but
that's the sort of loss that gets the head coach and or the OC fired. Well, that's an embarrassing loss.
Well, they will be fired.
Well, it's just a matter of time. Yeah, but whether it's
today be at the end of the year
or in 6 or 8 weeks.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, people are still trolling me about Jaden. I mean, he struggled at times. There's no doubt, but it's okay.
Might have been a pump the brakes game to some extent in that this discussion of Jaden Daniels being a top five quarterback and an MVP. You're looking at a guy in 10 games. He only has 9 touchdown passes.
I never thought he was a real MVP candidate.
Okay, but some people have thrown him in there.
Yeah. He should have at least 10. Well, De'Ami Brown should have been in 10th touchdown.
Yeah, and there's been times
I'll say
when
that
like
until I'm in my grave.
There have been times
tackled right at the
yeah,
one.
Yeah, there have been times yeah, that guys are tackled at the one. It's his lowest rated game since week 1. Week 1 he had a QBR of 31.8. This week it's 36.3. That's his lowest passer rating for what it's worth. He was sacked 3 times. I felt like he was just a little off. And what I noticed from the top, and I'm not saying he can't do it, but there were passes, and Chris Russell brought up the very first series, where guys were open, and he seemed to zip in passes when he could use touch.
But part of that is he's feeling more pressure against the Steelers.
Yeah, maybe he was rushing
bringing
a little bit.
But not every time. I just think he was off for whatever reason.
I think he was off because he was pressured. You might not have seen a hit or anything, but I just think they got him out of his rhythm a little bit. That's all. I mean, I thought he was under duress.
Yeah, I think he can make those throws. You know, people brought up the Luke McCaffrey throw a few times. That can be a big play, and he just missed it. There were a couple of those throws, and certainly his receivers didn't help him. There were a bunch of drops.
Yeah, that's why I keep saying to these guys that are pounding me on Twitter that if the receivers make any one of those catches, probably aren't even having this conversation. Doesn't change the performance, really, but it changes your perception of it.
The only thing I wonder about...
And it could have changed the outcome.
The only thing I wonder about is...
Definitely.
You know, you're getting more and more film, and defensive coordinators are watching tendencies more and more. And look, he is elite running the ball, and he's super fast. I've seen these charts where he's running like 24 miles an hour or whatever, and it looks like he's just gliding. But maybe there was some sort of design thing defensively where maybe you have Queen spying on him, and you've got the, you know, they run that 3-4 defense, and the linebackers are out wide,
guy too,
where they're really keeping him in the pocket. And maybe you're going to see more and more teams saying, you know what, the thing that I'm impressed by Jaden Daniels overall is, I think actually if you took away his legs, he'd still be a very good quarterback in the league. Now, the legs make him elite.
Agreed.
But you may see more and more teams just doing everything they can to just keep him in the pocket. Not let him get out of the pocket, make him beat us with his arm.
They should. And he almost did.
Which he can do, especially guys aren't dropping balls left and right.
They'd be stupid to let him have a lane to run through.
There was at least one run where I thought he was going to bust a long one. The one when he rolled to the left and he got tripped up.
Patrick Queen got to him. There was a lot
of real estate.
Well, I thought the one...
I almost thought he didn't turn on the Jets because I thought he could get around the corner and he just barely got tripped up.
Well, I thought that one where he went up the middle and he got tripped up
at
and tackled.
The end,
I thought that one
QB
he was about
draw.
I thought he was about to bust that one.
Yeah.
I mean, they got very forced. Great play
big.
By them.
That
great play
big.
By them. But he was about to bust that one. So, whatever. I'm thrilled with that guy. I already know he's our guy. He's going to have good games, bad games. That was a C-plus game, maybe. Fine.
Hopefully, he's a rebound game on national TV. Short week. More involved.
It's going to be a tough
attack.
Challenge against the Eagles. But I'm kind of in Jason's mindset.
It's going to be tough. I'm not buying into all this Eagles hype that they're as good as their record says they are.
Right.
I mean, I just look at who they've beaten in the last 5 games. Stop me when you hear a good team here. Browns, Giants, Bengals, Jags, Cowboys.
So
I mean, are there any good teams in that mix?
Okay, so
back to Jaden. Same thing for Washington.
True. Cakes, back to Jaden, because last week you got in a fight with Jason about Jaden Daniels.
I did. We got into a fight.
Yeah, because you said Jaden Daniels was better than Patrick Mahomes.
It was a debate.
Drab brought up a good point, not on mic, but I'll let you have the mic, Drab.
Well, you just got to stick to your guns. I mean, last week, if you say he's better than Patrick Mahomes, and then today you said, no, we shouldn't compare him to Lamar.
So you can compare him to Patrick Mahomes, but not Lamar.
Is he elite, or should we not be doing that yet?
No. He's a great quarterback.
But yeah, I want Cakes to stick to his guns week to week.
I am sticking to my guns. I'm not off the I'm not off the Jaden bandwagon. I'm not hopping off the rocket ship.
I know, but do you have a policy of not comparing quarterbacks, or can you compare quarterbacks?
Because
you don't want to compare him to Lamar.
I like to go situation by situation. I'm a situational guy.
He does it week to week.
Yeah, that's what I do. That's how I live my life, week to week.
I'm just still waiting for my 14 bucks.
If he has a bad game, you can't compare him to top quarterbacks.
Pretty much,
if he has a good game, you can compare him to.
I use it to fit my narratives whenever I want.
Here's what I'll say.
I'll pay you the 14 bucks. I know.
I want to double it.
I know. You always want to let it ride.
Don't you? I mean,
it's fine, whatever. I'm not that concerned about $14.
My opinion has not changed at all. I have zero concerns about his ability to play the game. My only concern is his ability to stay healthy. That's it. His ability to play the game, to execute all the throws, literally every throw.
I don't think anybody disagrees with you.
Okay, good. I have zero concerns about his ability to play this game at this level.
I don't think anybody believes, all right, they should be looking into the draft for another quarterback.
Nobody believes that.
He's going to be, again, the best of his generation. Like, he's
all right, that's a little bit of a stretch, but okay.
Player.
All right.
That I have zero concerns about any ability-related issues. Zero.
800-636-1067 if you want to chime in as we talk about Jaden Daniels.
A better young quarterback to lead my team.
Thank God the Bears just took Caleb Williams and took him off the board. They didn't have to consider picking Caleb Williams.
They took him. Yeah. Oh, my God. What a blessing.
Send him another gift.
800-636-1067 if you want to chime in on a Misery Monday. Brought to you by Chenega Miles, the 2024 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.